What's going on? Welcome to another episode of the Purpose Lab. You know what we're on a mission to do. Our mission is to interview the world's most successful failures, people who understand the difference between failure and stopping. See, failure is something that happens in order for us to learn the lesson to go to the next level, where stopping enables us from moving to that next level. So our mission is to interview the world's most successful failures who use the failure as lessons in order to achieve all the different successes that they're not now having. So welcome to another episode. And I want to thank you for all the different comments, all the different feedback, for all the shares of the YouTube channel, all the shares of the podcast on Spotify and Apple Music or wherever you're getting your podcast. But I want to thank you. The support has been tremendous. So I want to get right into it. I want to read a quote that I came up with years ago, but it'll apply to this particular message today. And the quote is this: I changed when I saw something in me that didn't fit the person I was meant to be. Let me say that again. I changed when I saw something in me that didn't fit the person that I was meant to be. Today's message is about change and how important change is. And let's be honest, you know, and once again, you know, on this platform, I'm very transparent about the different things, the different failures that I've been through in order to hopefully you learn a lesson from the mistakes that I made. But once again, I never stopped. It was a time that I felt like I was stuck. But once again, I wasn't stuck. I just stopped. But when I realized that I wanted something different, when I realized that I deserved something different, not because I was just this worthy person that felt like, oh, I should. No, I knew that because of the different things that I made it through, I knew that there was something else for me to do because I wasn't dead. I knew that if I woke up again and again and again, that meant that I had an opportunity to change. That meant that regardless of what I did the night before, regardless of what I did the day before, the month before, I knew that I had another opportunity in this particular time to do something different, to experience something different. And ultimately, I had a vision of what I wanted my life to look like. I had envisioned what I wanted my life to be about. And since I had a vision and I envisioned it, I knew that I would see other people, and I've said this before, living a life that was phenomenal, a life that was extraordinary. And I started to really just ask, why are they living such an extraordinary life? And understand, whenever we're looking at different people and whenever we're talking about different people, unless we're intimately involved with them, we're basically, if we're looking at their house, we're looking at one particular outside the house, one particular room that we're able to see through. So I'm looking through their bedroom window. I can't see what's happening in the living room. I can't see what's happening in the kitchen. I see what's happening in that particular room. So I don't know what it is that they're doing completely. But what I do know is they're living parts of their life that to me looks extraordinary. I'm just speaking about me. I used to see different people that I've known because of the opportunities that I've had. I used to see them travel all the time. I used to see, and I say this a lot, I used to see different people that I was associating with that they didn't have to fly commercial. They didn't have to go on orbits. They didn't have to go on Travelocity and look up and find the best flights. They didn't. They would go to the actual airline, punch it in, or they would go to the airline or have their assistant book their chartered flight. So I knew that this was possible because I was seeing it. And what I understood was, if it was possible for them, why wasn't it possible for me? If that's something that I wanted. Now, once again, I'm only looking through the bedroom, so I don't know what's going on, but I know this particular thing that I desired, I've seen them have it. And so I said, if they can have it, why can't I? So I knew what I wanted because I remember, and once again, being transparent, the first time I flew private, it was such a different experience. It was such a different experience because I had to take my shoes off. I had to do none of that stuff. I have to wait on standby. I have to do none of that. And I said, because I pulled my car up, parked my car, got on the plane. By the time I got back from where I went, my car was being warmed up. I was hooked. I was hooked. The first time I flew first class. And soon as I sat down, they said, "Hey, how may I help you?" Everybody wasn't even on the plane yet. And they said, "How may I serve you?" I was like, "Whoa, what you mean I don't have to wait until the safety check, until they do the announcement, until we're a certain amount of height up in the air before you come around and offer me that cookie or those pretzels or that water or pay for a drink? You mean I don't have to go through that right now you're ready to service me?" It was a different way that I had then started to think. So my mind was changing the way I thought about life. And once again, that's just one particular thing. But I knew that that was something that I had now been exposed to, that I now knew was possible. And since I've been exposed to it, I knew it was possible. Now I wanted to have that in my life. So when we think about the word change, how do we then start reading different things, watching different things, associating with different people, studying different people to where we can now start changing our mindset to say, you know what? It's happening for them, this thing that I desire. I now want it to happen for me. So how do I put myself in position? And remember what I always say, it's not about being perfect, because a lot of times we wait till we got to have it all together before we start that podcast. Ooh, we wait till we have. No, I listened to someone who told me, well, I listened to someone who said on their podcast how it started was they first of all wanted to start it. Then they second of all made a commitment to be consistent with their podcast. So they said, regardless if they were traveling, regardless what they were doing, they had their iPhone, they didn't have cameras, they didn't have a ring light, they didn't have any of that. They said what they did was they just had their iPhone and they just committed to doing something a couple times a week to start their podcast. Now, you look at what they're doing and their podcast has different sponsorship, has different has different people who listen in on it on weekly basis. And so now they have sponsors. They have people who are believing in the things that they are talking about, the guests that they are bringing on, and all they started off with was their iPhone. So once again, we don't have to wait. What is it? Les Brown said, you don't have to be great in order to get started, but you do have to start in order to be great. You do have to start in order to be great. So you have to start that thing. And part of the starting is to understand that we have to change our mindset as it pertains to the things that we desire. I say this so much on my, and I know my people may get sick of me, but I say it so much in my different messaging. And I may say it a different way. I may say it a similar way. I may say it the same way, but I'm always talking about changing our mindset. This whole podcast is built on interviewing the most successful people and how they use failures as lessons. I continue to understand that that's one of the keys to the success that we desire is how do we change our mindset? How do we now view the thing that for years or has been conditioned in us to seem like failure, but it wasn't failure. It was a lesson. It was an opportunity instead of an obstacle for us to learn something from in order to go to and grow to the next level. That's it. You know, my son just took, I can't wait to interview him, but my son just took a biology test. Well, his first biology test that he took, and he didn't do well. So he's great math, and he's good in science, but great at math, great at his different business classes, all of this, but he didn't do well. Quite frankly, he got a D on his biology test. So I called him and because I always talk to him about, I think for me, it just makes me feel good knowing that they didn't take after me. They mainly took after their mom when it comes to academia and academics. But I said, man, how'd you do on that test you told me about? And he said, man, Dad, he said, I got a D on that test. I said, man, I said, what happened? You know, I wasn't there to judge, but I was like, man, what happened? Because usually he does well on different tests, but this is his second science class that he's taken. And he said, man, Dad, he said, you know, I thought I was prepared. He said, but you know, it seemed like I studied the wrong things. I said, so I asked him because I always talk about, especially in this, please hear me, especially those of you who are in school. If you didn't get the results that you wanted, the first person that you should go talk to. If you need a tutor, go get a tutor. I definitely believe in resources. Utilize the resources that you have available to you. But your main resource that I need you to lock into is go see your professor. Professors have office hours, and their office hours is usually them in there doing research, doing different things that they have to, because they have to hold these office hours. But unfortunately, a lot of students don't come to their office hours. One of the reasons why I've become kicked out of two different high schools, graduated from an alternative school, but went on bachelor's, two master's, and a PhD is because I started understanding the importance of building relationships. So it got to the point where I stopped saying that I'm supposed to know everything because I know what my thing is, but I need to go get help from the person who's the expert at this thing. So I used to develop and live in my professor's office hours. So I told my son, I said, man, make sure you go. He said, yeah, Dad already sent the email and I'm about to have a meeting with the professor. So we went, developed a relationship. Professor said, oh yeah, I can see how you, but you know, this is what I would suggest that, you know, you spend your time on. We got this t next test coming up. Da-da-da. So they basically gave him the key to success. Basically gave him the key to unlock the door to the success that he wanted to have. So fast forward, got another test coming up. I asked him something. I said, hey, DJ, are you going to do this thing that he was talking to me about? He was like, ah, nah, Dad, I gotta really focus on this test. And so I'm going to these two young ladies' house. I'm going to these two young ladies' house to study. Now he's different than me, so I do believe he was going to the two, and not I believe he did go to the two young ladies' house and study, because those two young ladies are nursing majors. And my son, it was crazy because he said, Dad, he said, it just comes to them like they know this nurses, they know this science stuff. He said, but what's crazy that when I'm talking to them about accounting or business management, they're like, ugh, like I don't see how you do it. Whoa. Is that a key, a nugget that I just dropped that I hope you heard me? The people who are helping him with the thing that he's not great at are saying to him, man, how do you do that thing that he's good at? Because my son could probably help them tutor them in the thing that he is passionate about, where they're helping him get the thing that he needs out of the thing that he's not so passionate about, but they're passionate about. So anyway, so he goes to them, they're studying, and my son has figured out too. He said, yeah, I'm taking them over. They said they like to eat this particular thing. And so he's taking it over there. So he also understands, and I know he gets this part from his dad, is, you know, when you're going to ask people for help, you may not have, let's say, money to give them, but there's something that you can do that makes them feel good about helping you. So it's not like you're just draining and taking something away. You're actually giving them something as well. So he took over, I don't know if it was Starbucks or whatnot, but he took that over to the young ladies. They were very, very happy and appreciative, and they broke down everything. I wish I had, I wish I would have sent the picture that my son sent me so I can show you on this podcast. Those of you who are watching it on YouTube, if you're listening to it, but he sent this formula where he spent a lot of time just putting all these different formulas on this whiteboard within the library, and he had it. So he's figuring out, because that's the way his mind thinks. So he has sent the picture to our group chat, and I'm sitting up looking at it. Mom was asking questions, but I'm looking at it, and I like, man, this is crazy. So fast forward, he ended up getting a B on his next test, and he was happy. But you know me, I asked him. I said, D, I said, so your first test, you didn't get the outcome you wanted. I said, so it seems like you did something different. I said, walk me through. And the reason why I wanted him to walk me through, because I'm trying to condition my son's mind to start thinking differently about an outcome that he wants. So I said, walk me through what you did. He said, well, you know, the first thing, Dad, I went talk to the professor. He said, the second thing is I found someone who was good at something that I wasn't, but I'd already had a relationship with him. He said, Dad, he said, you know, what's crazy is I knew they were nursing majors, but I just felt like, man, I needed this help. And, you know, at first he said, Dad, I wouldn't have asked him for the help. But I know I wanted to do well. I want my GPA to be good. And I didn't want this class, because he said I would have passed it. He said, but I don't want to just pass it. I want to pass it with a grade that I know if I put the work in that I could get. He said, so I, you know, told him I was, you know, struggling in this class and would they help me? And he said, Dad, he said, well, what's crazy is what you always talk about. He was like, okay, you was right on this, Dad. He said, they wanted to help me. He said, Dad, they wanted to help me. And I said, and so he said, and he said, Dad, he said, when I showed up and I gave them with Starbucks, I believe it was, you know, they was happy and they was even wanting to help me more. And he said, another thing, Dad, the dad said was, man, you early. So I said, man, D, could that have meant when they said that, that they knew that you really wanted to get something out of this class? He said, yeah, I think so. So once again, my son looked at his process and he said, I didn't get a particular outcome that I wanted. And so now, since I didn't get that outcome that I wanted, I need to look back at my process. What didn't I do? Well, first of all, I didn't study the right thing or the right way, which is what my professor said. So I got to change that as part of my process. He said, what else in my process didn't give me the outcome? He said, the other part of my process was I wasn't searching out and utilizing the resources that I had available to me in my circle. So I need to change that about my process and utilize the resources that I have available for me in order to have this outcome that I want. And he said, you know, and what was the other thing? He said, being able to give and not just get. I was able to give something to the people who were helping me and not just take. So I gave and I was able to receive. So that whole part of the process was important as well in order for him to get the B, I believe it was. It might have been A minus or B, but I was able to get a different outcome based on me reevaluating the process, because my process wasn't right. My process wasn't producing the results that I wanted. So I say this to all of you who are listening. What is your process? If you want a certain outcome, what is your current process? And if it's not producing that outcome that you want, that outcome that you deserve, that outcome that you know you desire to have, then look at the process and then start evaluating, what do I need to do differently within this process in order to achieve a different result? Because Einstein, definition of insanity, doing the same thing, expecting a different result. So how do I change my mindset to understand that it's okay to ask for help? How do I change my mindset to say, okay, I have to put in more work in order to produce the outcome that I want to receive? Change. That's why change is so important. Because if we continue to do the same thing day after day after day, and I've talked about this before, and I'm going to talk about this to nausea because I need to hear it. Remember, I said I had my son break down his process. I go through the same thing because I understand that I need to continue to do something different, to have something different, that repetition. The reason why athletes practice. I watched this video with Michael Johnson. It was Usain Bolt. And I might have said, but I watched this video and Usain Bolt talked about practice. Because think about it, he's an Olympian. So when he performs in Olympics, is what, every 4 years, the Olympic different things, the different races that he has or whatnot. He's not racing every week or whatnot. So he talks about the practice that he puts in. I think about athletes who during the off season, which I always talk about, there's no off season. There's times that you give your allow your body to rest, but you're still doing something. You're doing active recovery. So maybe during those times you're listening to stuff, you're watching stuff, but you're continuing to keep your mind sharp just because you know your mind is connected to your body. So Usain Bolt talked about practice. He said, yeah, y'all see the end result of my practice. Y'all see the success that I have during the competition, but that's all due to my practice, which is the process. See, I always say this. Success leaves clues. This isn't rocket science. This is simple brain science. This is years and years and centuries of different people who have left clues to success, but we figure we're going to do it our own way. There's some staples. There's some things that people have done, and it has stood through the test of time. But are we going to be aware? Me and my daughter and my wife, as we was going to church today, we were having a conversation about something. And it was actually, let me make sure she doesn't come in the room. But we were actually talking about how my wife, whenever we're talking about something that pertains to us, my wife will always interject her thing. So my daughter was talking about how she leaves some of her, she's a freshman in college, and how she leaves some of her stuff, you know, at her dorm. But when she comes here, she brings some stuff, but she has to make sure she has something to go to church in. And she said how she has a bag of clothes that she needs to give away, and she got to remember to take it to the Goodwill to give away. And so my daughter was talking about this, and my wife said, you know what? I got a bag of clothes too. And every time my daughter said, Mom, didn't we just talk about this when DJ was here? How every time we talk about something, it always shifts and it goes to you and about what you're doing. And my wife just started laughing because I think it clicked that she became aware of what she was doing. And I'm guilty of it as well. I think we're all guilty of it, making it about us, where sometimes it's people who just want to speak and we just need to listen. But I told my daughter, I said, man, you finally helped me, because I think she got it, where in order for us to enhance, we have to become aware. So once again, it's just a lesson. Once we become aware of what's not working, then in order for us to enhance it, then we have to evaluate the process. And once we evaluate the process, we can now look at the outcome that we want. And if the outcome isn't what it is, then now we need to change parts of our process. So now that we become aware, we can now enhance, because now, man, I'm doing that thing again that I did before. Nope, I got to change my mindset because I want something different. I want something different, and in order for me to have something different, I have to be willing to do something different. I want something different, and in order for me to have something different, I have to be willing to do something different. As I talk to different leaders that I work with, and we talk about their staff, and we talk about the people who report to them, I ask them always to talk about and be comfortable enough to be transparent and bring people in who can not only reach what they know the mission to be, but can also pull on the heartstrings of that person to get them to understand how every piece to the puzzle is important. And then everyone that was hired as part of this organization, you are an important, intricate part of this organization moving forward. And so when you bring people who can get employees and to get the employer and to get the senior leadership staff all in one accord, you can watch how that organization will go to the next level. But it all starts with understanding, what is the outcome? What is the outcome that we're trying to achieve in this organization, on this team? What is the outcome? And then this is what our process is. And sometimes you'll get an opportunity to develop your whole mission within the organization. And you can have senior management team really just structure what you want that mission to be, what you want the vision to be. And once you come together and you have a clear understanding and you're communicating it clearly of what the vision, what the mission is going to be, that's when you can get everybody on board. I remember I used to do this activity a long time ago with some of my high school students. I would say, all right, I would bring about four or five people up and I would pass something down the line. So I would say, I need you to whisper it, but this is what I want. This is what I want you to tell this next person. So I would say something, and then this next person would tell that person. Next person would tell that. By the time we got to the fifth person, you can imagine how the story had changed. And so I would ask the group of students that I was working with, or the group of, because I would do it with some of my companies as well, I would ask what happened. And so everybody would raise their hand and talk about what they seen happen. And mainly what happened was communication. I communicated something and maybe I wasn't clear in my communication. So when it got passed down to that next person, the communication wasn't clear. So now it was just mad chaos, because the information, the expectation that I had as the leader wasn't passed down the right way. And so now we're all over the place. So we have to have clear communication. But that starts with our process. That starts with us changing the way we disseminate the information, because if the information isn't being communicated the right way, then something has to change. And so that's why I always say how transparent I am, and just willing to listen, just willing to be aware of the different things that I need to work on, because no one's perfect. And I know I'm far from perfect. I just had the opportunity, part of this program that I'm with the SEC, I just had an opportunity to go and participate with a bunch of leaders. And one of the things that the leaders of this particular organization had said, which, you know, I found myself having a conversation with this gentleman, but he said, you know what, I'm not the smartest person in the room. And he said, I get to hire people who are smarter than me because I need them to be able to challenge me in a respectful way. I need them to be able to sharpen me in a certain way, because if we want to move the organization, we have to have different ideas. We can't all think the same, because that way we'll never move. So I remember, you know, in every time that I hire people to work with me, I've always said, I don't need to hire someone who's just going to be just that motivated. I got that part. But I know too, when I structure the different people that I work with, I know I need the organizer. I know I need the person who's going to keep me on task. I know that I need people who can take the big ideas that I throw out there and be able to synthesize it to where we can now take actionable steps to make it happen. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with hiring the next person who can take my position and move the organization to the next level. I want that person somewhere on my staff. I want that person to be my number two. But if it's not my number two, I don't care if it's the janitor who every day is coming and we're having a conversation about what idea to become to get myself in that seat. And I'm passing information just like they're passing information to me. Here's what I mean by that. Once again, don't have to be the smartest person in the room. And I want to be the type of leader who people feel comfortable coming to talk to me about certain situations. Because if a person on your team doesn't, or people on your team don't feel comfortable, if the building's burning down, they may not come and tell you, because they may say, you know what, we didn't know how you were going to respond. And so we would rather just the building burn down and we could talk about, but if we came to you and you chewed our head off and we had nothing to do with it, we just didn't feel comfortable. So I want people, now ultimately as a leader, you have to make that final decision, but I want people to feel comfortable being able to have the decision. Now, I'm not speaking to the whole, to everyone, but you got to have that circle that you trust enough to be able to tell you different things that are going on within the organization. And so maybe I have those 10 people, those 20 people, but those 10 or 20 people have 100 people, and so on and so forth. But it's different times like that. So this leader that was speaking was talking about just that, how he hires different people who help to stretch him. But he said it wasn't always like that. He said he had to change his mindset to understand that it was okay. It was okay, because it was some things, just like my son. He wasn't good at this particular biology class, but he's great at the business classes. There's some things that I know that I'm, like I said, when I hire different people, I know I got the motivation part. That's me. I know I can help people discover, develop, and live a life. That's my mission, to help people discover, develop, and live a life full of purpose. I'm the purpose guy. So I have that. But when I'm developing and develop this company, I had to have people who can help me with my podcasting. I had to have people who can help me with the whole curriculum that we created, with the whole power of purpose ecosystem. I had to have those different people who can go on Canva and do all the different graphics and all of those different things. I needed those people, them people, to be a part of my team, to be able to help push. And so we can, because my thing is, I want the world to see this. I want to help the world understand how important it is to live a life on purpose. I couldn't do that by myself. Can you imagine trying to do all that? It doesn't happen. That's why we need to partner with good people, people who we trust, and people who we allow to check us, and we can also strengthen them as well. But we have to change our mindset. See, a lot of times we've been conditioned to think and believe that we're supposed to do all this by ourselves. No one can do this all by themselves. Think about the top athletes. I always say athletes, but think about the top whoever. You can read their bio, and they always talk about people who help them believe in themselves, people who they partner with, people who told them something, people who stretched them, people who showed them or talked to them about an idea that helped produce the different things that they're doing. But they had to change from the way they used to be to the person that they know they had the capability of becoming. So going back to my quote that I read at the beginning, which was, I changed when I saw something in me that didn't fit the person that I was meant to be. If how you're acting and how you're reacting to different situations isn't fitting the person that you want to become. Remember, we talked about the whole power plug bracelets. If you're plugged into something that's no longer serving you, how important is it for you to unplug and then plug in to a power source that helps you to become all that you desire and deserve to be? That's what you have to think about. So once again, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for joining. For subscribing to the YouTube channel. I want to thank you for listening on your on Apple. Please leave a comment. Leave a comment, because as we're getting comments, as we're getting feedbacks, that I've been told by my team, that's what helps the algorithms and us be able to go and become viral. So please share this message. Please continue. If you need to listen to it again, because I know sometimes I talk fast, but I'm trying to talk more concise and clearly. I know when I'm speaking all over the country and I'm speaking on stages, I know at certain times, and when I'm asking my audience, I get that feedback. You know, when you're doing a podcast, when you're doing YouTube, and you're not interviewing someone, you know, you don't get that immediate feedback. But I thank you for providing the feedback. Those of you who are DMing me, but leave the comments within. Those of you need continue to DM me if you need to DM me, because of some personal things that I deal with my one-on-one clients and one-on-one people that I work with as well. But continue to share this message. Continue to tune in. You know, once a week or even twice a week, we bring you the Purpose Lab, where the Purpose Lab is on a mission to interview the world's most successful failures, failures who understand the importance of using the failure as a lesson. So once again, I thank you, and I see you on the next episode. Peace.